Happy Monday, everybody. Well, it is for everybody except for people in Detroit and Baltimore for yesterday's football game. Okay, and congrats to the other guys, the Chiefs and the Niners, for doing such a good job. But we're off the subject already. I'm Larry Jacobs. That's football. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. And thanks for being with me this January 29th into the end of the month, which I don't think I really had to tell you since it's the 29th. Okay, but you're intelligent people, so you probably would have figured that out all by yourselves. Hey, we got a nice one for you. Today I got Dr. Robin Stern, Dr. Janet Patty, who together wrote a book called Emotional Intelligence for School Leaders, which is really a terrific book, and it's based on years and years of experience, years and years of research, et cetera, to try to help school leaders manage in these very tough times. It's going to be a nice conversation with Janet and Patty, and I'm looking forward to bringing them on in just a second. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, and that's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. So please go over and check out everything. It's all free for you over there. Our magazine, Equity and Access, a new issue, celebrating our Equity Awards winners. All the information about the Equity Awards, all the podcasts we do are over there, plus tons of other stuff. So please check it all out over at ace-ed.org. And now time to start the Robin and Janet show. Good morning, Dr. Stern. How are you? It's Larry here.
Good morning, Larry. I'm very well. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for highlighting our work and inviting us.
You're more than welcome, and I hope it's only the first time you come on. You come on many more times as we go on. And before we go further, what's your dog's name?
It's not my dog. It's Janet's dog.
That's my dog. Her name is Jazzy. She's a big white Samoyed, and she barks. So I'm trying to keep her out of the room.
No. You have to understand. Dogs are always invited here on Education Talk Radio. Okay?
Excellent.
Give her a cookie.
Excellent.
Give her a cookie. Yeah, you're welcome. Tell her Uncle Larry it's from Uncle Larry. There you go, baby.
Okay.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Uncle Larry.
Well trained.
I know. What can I tell you?
Nothing. Don't even worry about it. Janet, how you doing? Dr. Patty?
I'm doing well today. I actually am looking forward to having a really good conversation with all of us. I think it's so important for our educators out there, our listeners, to be able to really know about what's going on and what helps in schools, what helps our leaders. So I'm looking forward to it.
We need it more than ever. I'm going to start the show, and I love this. Okay, I read a lot of the book, not the whole thing, and I got to the afterword, which I thought should have been the foreword, just so you know. Okay, I got to read this. This is from Mark Brackett wrote this. Mark is a professor at the Yale Child Study Center. Oh, I forgot to tell everybody, that's what you guys do. I'll be that in a minute. He's founding director of the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence. And by the way, Robin is the co-founder and senior advisor to the director at the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence, who happens to be Mark. Okay. And she's a licensed psychoanalyst. And after she worked with Tony Soprano, she did 30 years of experience treating individuals and couples and families. Okay. And Janet Patty is a professor emeritus. I hate to tell you that means old. Okay, that's from Latin. Okay, at Hunter College School of Education. Okay, where her teaching and research centered on educational leadership for 23 years. Okay, there you go. Okay, these are smart ladies. All right, let's just leave it at that. I got to read what Mark wrote here. Mark Brackett, your boss, Rob. Okay? I love this. In the late 1990s, he's writing as an afterword in the book, called Books Emotional Intelligence for School Leaders. This is Mark speaking. My uncle Marv and I set out to bring social and emotional learning to schools. Marvin was a middle school teacher in New York who had a remarkable success with his students, and he figured out the missing link in the child's journey toward personal, social, and academic success, the ability to use their emotions wisely. Okay, but Uncle Marvin and I failed, as the paragraph continues. We were only prepared to help teachers deliver lessons to children. We weren't ready for the many teachers who were hesitant to the ideas. Teaching kids about the feeling of despair makes me sad, said one of the teachers. I'm not prepared to hear what these kids make care, said another. Boy, talk about that these days. So Uncle Marvin and Mark, Marvin and I, went back to the drawing board. We saw that we could never reach children unless we first enlisted teachers who understood the importance of emotional skills. And soon after that, we realized that only if there was commitment from the school leader could an entire school be transferred. And that's when he met, if I may segue into this show, Robin and Janet. There we go. That should be the, that should be the forward, not the afterward.
That's a good one.
Ladies.
Yeah, we
well,
never
thank
thought of that.
You, Larry. Yes.
And you're welcome.
And it's completely true. Uncle Marvin is watching from the sky and looking down on us and smiling as you're reading this forward giving him credit for his part in really uncovering the missing piece in education that he was part of.
Exactly.
In the 1990s,
and the world was a lot different in the 1990s, 30 years ago, if I may, than it is today. And it's even tougher out there these days. So, okay, Robin, I'm going to start with you, okay?
That's
emotional intelligence.
I was going to say that I thought that was kind of a perfect segue to what I wanted to say. The world was different in 1990, and yet, whether it was 1990 or 2024 or many years before that, emotions matter. Emotions matter every day, all day, in the lives of every person. And so why should educational leaders study, learn, work with emotional intelligence, live it every day? Because their emotions matter. It matters whether they are feeling upbeat and happy as they walk into a school. Matters if they're feeling sad and distressed when they walk into a school. Your emotions are contagious, and people around you know what you're feeling, even if you're not talking about it. So to be skillful in emotional intelligence, and those are just examples, of course, but to be skillful means that you have the ability to accurately communicate what it is you're feeling. We call it name it to tame it at the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence. So if you can name something, then you can accurately communicate it and you can attend to it. You can be skillful in regulating your emotions so that perhaps they're not leaking as you walk into the school, but you're managing them in a different way, regulating them in the service of your goals, right? So using your emotions wisely means just that. It's in the service of your goals. When you can understand what you're feeling, you can be aware of your strengths and your challenge areas. And it affects your performance. And I know, Janet, you wanted to talk about that.
Janet, go ahead. Well, I want to say something here before Janet gets on. Robin is the psychoanalyst of the group, okay? And she knows education as well, but she's a PhD psychoanalyst. Janet, okay, was a professor, as we mentioned, at Hunter College School of Education, okay? And her research and her professorship was based on educational leadership. So the two of these people coming together really matters. So now take that into the, you know, we kind of know that, but now put it into educational leadership. Janet, Dr. Patty.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Larry. So, you know, what that means is that it all falls down on the leader, because if the leader is not emotionally intelligent, that is going to go through the organization. And
what happened there? You still there? Uh-oh. Do we have a break? Hold on. Are you guys still there?
I'm here. Can you hear me, Larry?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I could, and then it broke off for a second. I don't know what's happening, because I'm not getting any breaks or anything. I'm getting a steady line here. I don't know what's going on.
Think about how it goes through the organization when it's the educational leader is emotionally intelligent.
Yeah. Right. So the climate of the school is dependent upon, honestly, has so much affected by the school leader and the culture of the school. So depending on the skill sets that leader has, depending on the health and the emotional intelligence, really, their ability to be vulnerable, their ability to be authentic, their ability to
be self-aware is really going to impact the entire organization. So, you know, that is why it is really critical.
So, Jan, you've been working with educational leaders for a long time, and I know they're good people. Please don't misunderstand this next question. How's their emotional intelligence? Okay, Janet, how's their emotional intelligence? Do they get this? And again, they're good people. Please do not misunderstand that question. But you got to know yourself.
Well, you have to. Well, you just answered it, right? Those that do the work, that are self-reflective, that look at themselves in the mirror, they're the ones that then say, wow, you know, I'm struggling here. I need some help. I need to learn some sets of skills because I'm not even sleeping at night. And then there's the opposite side. There's the ones that are autocratic in their leadership, and they realize that the culture is not thriving, right? And so for that set of people, learning these sets of skills builds empathy, gives them the ability to have more compassion, which, you know, we'll talk about as we go forward. So I think that's why it's really – well, it's not I think. I have seen. Yeah, we have seen, you know, the difference of what happens when all of a sudden a leader who has never thought about this emotional sees it, and then it shifts. It begins to shift. And it's not overnight. It takes time. It's a journey.
Janet, I'll add to that by saying that when – Larry, I think this is an answer to your second question, how do our backgrounds – how did we combine our backgrounds? That one of the first things Janet and I spoke about was, well, what kind of emotion education do educators get, or educational leaders get in school? And the answer was, at the time, none.
Exactly. Right? Actually, I was going to ask that, so you just answered it. I kind of knew the answer before I did, but go ahead, continue that thought.
And it was really astonishing to me, coming from my own background in psychology, that was the case. And interestingly, one of the reasons that I moved from psychology alone and doing psychoanalytic psychotherapy in my practice to education was Janet was an inspiration for that. But the other inspiration for that was my children went to school. And every day when I walked them to school and I would say hello to the school principal and I would say hello to the teachers, I would walk away thinking, I wonder what kind of education these people have in dealing with the psychological piece and the emotional piece of what goes on in the classroom every single day, all day. And so then meeting Janet, I was able to ask that question. And we thought, okay, so this is something that – this is a way – not exactly the roadmap that we use, but we got there anyway. Mm-hmm. We can explain how we actually got to create the coaching program, or a coaching approach. But we really felt that we could do something to close that gap, to help leaders understand what they were feeling. Because as Janet said, you know, a happy leader is a happy school. A crabby leader is a crabby school. And that's just the way it is, because emotions are contagious and because they're impacting everyone all day long.
Right.
Go ahead, Janet, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, you know, so that that factor of that emotional contagion that has so much to do with what happens in schools. And, when I was doing my doctorate, I traveled around to the country, and I'm going back now in the 1990s. And I was, in several states, and looking at the time I was focused on social-emotional learning for children. And that was my area of research, you know, what's going on in terms of are people are bringing in SEL, and is it working? And this is, you know, in the early days before it really became accepted to even teach it in schools. And what I found was that, you know, the children were learning the strategies and the skills that needed to be learned if the teacher had bought into it. But if there was no principal or no leader that was saying, we need to do this, then, you know, only one classroom would be, they'd have to close their door and the kids are great and they're learning all these skills, but they go out on the playground. And then, you know, the other kids weren't getting them, and it was a mess. You know, there was fights, and there was this, and you know, violence. But when the principal was trained, then it changed completely.
And so that's what one of the reasons why Robin and I said, hey, we've got to focus on these leaders. We've got to do something for them to become introspective and reflective and look at their own leadership.
It sure does. And I want to ask this, okay, in Mark's afterword of the book, he talked about how the teachers at a school need to be involved. And to lead the way, we have to have the school leader to be involved. Okay. Janet, I'm going to ask you because you, yeah, I agree absolutely. But you were at Hunter College School of Education, okay? And part of what you had to do, okay, was convince Hunter that this was important enough to have courses in it, okay? Okay, and let's not forget in this mix, okay, education schools, all right? Education schools have to recognize how important this is. I think they are trying to. But I'm curious, okay, what was that fight like, okay, within Hunter's College of Education? And are other colleges of education, you're smart enough to know this, following suit on this and understanding how important this is as they train educational leaders, okay? And we're going to talk about how you guys do it with Star Factor, okay, in a minute. But I want to hear about this side of it. What's your thought on that, Janet? Are the colleges of education reacting? Yeah.
So you're triggering my emotions now.
Robin, calm her down. Calm her down. Lithium.
Janet,
Robin,
you have the strategies.
You
watch, Robin. Take a breath.
I do have the strategies. So really the story was that I was doing all this research and studying and learning. And, you know, we'd have meetings. I'd share it. People listen. Because of the isolation and the funnels that exist, that, you know, in higher education, everybody's doing their own thing. So that's the first thing.
Exactly.
Nobody plays in the sandbox together. Right. That's the way it is. So, as the years went on and I was doing this, I was, you know, isolated. And I was looked at by the deans at the time as looking at an area of research that is really soft and isn't really worth looking at. And so I was actually poo-pooed by one of the deans for a number of years. And it was really painful because he basically he laughed at the fact that we were doing this. We brought Mark in, Robin and I, actually, for a presentation.
Wow.
And his comment was, yeah, you know, so-so. And so it was very painful.
Why am I laughing?
But, you know, because schools, and I think you're right, it is starting to change. It began to change with teacher development, but leader development is the last thing. People just don't get it. And, I could feel it now. I'm working hard. I'm breathing. You know, it was really, it was professionally, it was a professional suicide in a way. I was feeling like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this at first. And, you know, maybe I have to get. So what I did was, you know, I continued and I hooked up with Robin and Yale and started to do more research and, you know, and still continue even now as retired. Well, Robin and I are working hard on research to study what we're doing because it's really new. And
You're doing more than studying. Okay. And this is the point I'm going to swing over to Robin. Okay. Robin, Star Factor Coaching. Okay. That's what you guys,
yes, sir.
Okay. Beyond the book, you guys, I'll put it this way, are making an effort to get out in the schools and do professional development. I'm going to call it that for the heck of it. But Robin, talk about what you've developed with Janet beyond the book. Again, the book is called Emotional Intelligence for School Leaders. But beyond that, you have Star Factor Coaching. And I have this odd feeling since you're now in education that STAR is an acronym. But am I right?
No, you're not right. Actually, STAR, so we took the, we looked at all the research about people who perform to a higher degree than other people in corporations that Dan Goleman and Richard Biasis had done. And we saw the gap between average performers and what they called STAR performers. Were those performers who had most of the competencies that made the difference were competencies of emotional intelligence.
Wow.
And so that's why we named our coaching process and coaching – that's why we named the coaching process STAR Factor. And
what is it? Absolutely. Talk about it. Yeah, talk about it.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to talk about it. I'm thinking about whether I should include the fact that we talked about it initially over a glass of wine. I don't see why not. It was very relaxing.
Why not?
So we met at a – Janet and I met each other at Summer Institute that was put on at the time by a Columbia –
At a Finger Lakes winery.
No, it wasn't a winery. It was a Columbia University continuing ed program. And I at the time was teaching at Columbia University, and I was the associate director of this small organization that grew over time with Jonathan Cohen as my director. And we had summer institutes a long time ago, Janet. And Janet and I went out one night after meeting each other there. We were talking about how we could contribute and how we could join forces in working in this field. And around the same time, through different routes, each one of us went to the training that Richard and Dan Goleman and Richard Boyatzis offered in the Emotional Intelligence Competency Inventory. And we both walked away from that training thinking, well, it's really great. So we took this assessment, and everyone around us took this assessment. But then what do people do with it? So now, like rolling the camera forward these many years, the people who give the ECI and Dan Goleman in particular has a whole coaching program. But then there was no coaching program. There was no way for people who took the assessment to really process the information over time, to work with their scores and then go out there in the world using the world as their laboratory and develop these skills that they had suddenly learned they were lacking in, or skills that were really strong. They weren't able to use them to leverage them to really improve scores or areas of competency that, let's say, self-awareness or self-management that they wanted to improve on. So we said, why don't we do that? And we spoke with Dan Goleman at the time and Richard Boyatzis at the time, and they were really in favor of us moving forward just as colleagues, and they've been wonderful mentors, both of them. Yeah. And Carrie Chernis as well have been our mentors through the years in working in building what we've built. And it is a process where coach and client sit together for a series of 6 to 8 sessions initially we had, which was too many for the Board of Ed, but also really we felt that it was an 8-session commitment, and they met each other, they greeted each other, they unpacked the scores of the client would take the assessment, 360-degree Dan and Richard assessment at the time, and create a vision for themselves. Where did they want to go? So the coaching is, I'm walking you through the sessions, and the coaching was led by the client's vision. So this is a school leader who has either elected to take the coaching or has been asked to take the coaching, or a superintendent who has elected to take this coaching program or has been asked by the professional development people in the district, in the city of New York, for example. I may not be getting this right, Janet, and you can correct me when I stop talking in a second.
Well, the chancellor.
The chancellor.
You're right. The chancellor, basically.
Office.
Yeah.
Ask the superintendents in New York to take advantage of the fact that we were offering this coaching work. And so unpacking their scores, creating their own vision, telling the coach their story of themselves initially before they dove into trying to meet their goals using different competencies, and then setting goals for themselves, taking a values clarification along the way, and with sessions, awareness is building, they're learning more skills, they're learning the ruler skills as well, recognizing, understanding, labeling, expressing, and regulating, and the competencies that Dan Goleman and Richard Boyatzis used to build their 360-degree inventory. And importantly, because I was working at Yale at the time and knew of the work, the important work of RULER, recognizing, understanding, labeling, expressing, and regulating emotions, and that definition of emotional intelligence. But originally steeped in the work of Dan and Richard, we combined those two ways of investigating your own emotional intelligence in our coaching practice. And it is really the only coaching practice that does that. So it's unique in that we're looking at the competencies that resonate for leaders, like teamwork, cooperation. Mm-hmm. And we're taking that apart and saying, okay, but what are the emotion skills involved in being able to be a good team player in doing teamwork? Well, you need to recognize your own emotions and those of others. You need to be able to effectively and helpfully express your emotions. You need to understand. You need to label. So all the ruler skills come into play for the competencies themselves. And it's really powerful to learn the discrete skills.
Oh, I'm sure.
And yet and build your competency as a leader. I'll stop talking there, Janet.
Oh, that was beautiful, Robin.
Yeah.
That just she just summarized it so well. I mean, I think that's that unique feature that she mentioned is really critical to it, the success of why leaders are enjoying and actually pursuing this kind of work. I would add that, so bringing my background into it and adding in how do educators, how are they used to learning? They're a specific breed. I think you know that. And in order to get buy-in from educators, to have research based, you have to have all your ducks in a row. So we took all of those into it to make sure that we were creating a model that they could digest. So what we did is our coaching method is blended. So that means that we are basically teaching to some extent by introducing concepts for them to work with in the session, but then being there for them to guide the session. Because most coaching, as you know, is all of it's client directed. So our thing was, okay, but we have to make sure they learn the skills. And so we have training with it.
Right.
And additionally, we do training with it, so that helped. But in the sessions, we would make sure to say, okay, so let's think about those ruler skills, right? To teach them what they are. And what do you see is what emotion skill is coming up at this point or being challenged that is underlying your ability to manage conflict? This is what Robin was explaining. And so I think that plus the fact that we actually scripted the manual. Now, I don't mean we scripted word for word what they say, but we have it in a way like a curriculum that leaders need. So because they're not psychologists, they don't have training in the work that we're doing. And so what we needed to do was to have something they could understand, a visual that they could say, okay, this is what this means. And the coach, and I'm talking about the coach, would be able to explain to them and have now literature to go back to read, articles, whatever. That's the kind of thing you got to do with educators. And so I think that made it more digestible for them.
Go ahead. Can I? I wanted to put on
please.
That for a minute. All right. So the coach, we work with the coach so that not only were they learning the skills of emotional intelligence and active listening and empathic attunement, but also the underlying sense of positive regard and support for their client, that there was an atmosphere or interpersonal dynamic between them, a co-created space between them, and in the intersubjective experience between client and coach, there was an experience for the client of psychological safety. And I know built it to be consistent with a model of psychology that I studied, which is the theoretical model of self-psychology, which means, just very simply, that if a child, or in this case the client, if a client has what he or she need or what they need to be safe and comfortable and thrive at particular level they're at, they will naturally move to the next level given the guide. So it's not a, it's a very positive growth promoting or growth defining model that we can give guidance, don't have to be controlling about where people go.
It's really important, and I'm going to tell you something. I want to put this into perspective for everybody, okay, a little bit more so down into the nitty-gritty, okay? You just mentioned feeling psychologically safe, and that's something that's really important today, okay, in schools. And believe me, there's a lot of people who don't feel that way, a lot of teachers, a lot of principals, administrators, and a lot of kids. Okay, they just don't feel psychologically safe. And the pandemic, by the way, didn't help. All right?
Right.
And that's one of the key things, okay, that's going to change school culture, because I know you both are on top of this. You know, there's chronic absenteeism through school, in schools right now, in American schools. And one of the problems is the kids don't feel safe there. Or they're psychologically, they don't feel like they have to go. It's not that they're all truant. That's not what's happening. No, they are truant. I don't mean it that way, but it's not a mean sense of truancy, okay? If there's something else going on in their heads, okay? And in order to stop that and bring it back, we have to create psychologically safe schools, welcoming schools, et cetera, okay? And, you know, that's really what you're trying – correct me if I'm wrong here, okay? Whichever one of you, I'll throw it to a Janet, but you can swing it over to – Robin, if you want, that's really what we need to do here. That's what we're talking about. This is also going to,
you know,
and the other problem is teacher burnout. If teachers aren't happy, you know, they are doing it. They're walking, okay. And who's going to come in and take their place? All right, in this day and age,
it's a big
Janet, go ahead, correct the world. You're on.
Well, Larry, I'm just so glad you put that in there, because it's really pathetic, and you know that some people don't get this, you know, and the good news is that social emotional learning is becoming more predominant now, and that's helping. But it depends on the teacher. It depends on the principal, no matter what. So, for example, in the coaching process, I'm going to go back to that for a second. Yes, psychological safety is critical. They being the leaders, they are isolated. They're lonely. They have no one to talk to unless they get together with each other, and there's absolutely no time for them to feed one another, to nurture one another. So they're alone out there, and superintendents too. And, you know, anyone in a leadership, it's a bureaucracy. It's antiquated. It's back in the 1900s when, you know, science, you know, management was really the way that, you know, everything was in rows, and you know, we were a bureaucracy, and people were used to autocratic leadership. You know, it's amazing how all these years later, it hasn't changed a lot. It's changing, but it's not changing fast enough. And so those principals, when they're being coached, their feelings come up. They share. Some of them cry. Some of them, you know, they finally feel safe enough to be able to put out their emotions and really be honest with themselves, because that coach is a guide, is not there to do anything but to help listen to them and then guide them to make the decisions for themselves of what their next steps are. And that has been critical.
It sure is. I
want to use this moment just to talk a little bit about our process. Because, as you said, Larry, we train coaches as well as offer coaching. And the process of training was largely based on the way I learned how to be a therapist, which means that when I had to be in therapy. So our coaches, when people come to us to train to be a coach, they receive coaching. And while they're starting their, if you will, in coaching, they select clients in their own life to do pilot work while they're under our supervision. And even as they walk out, when we work with large groups, we build in supervision for the people who are trained to be coaches. And what we're learning is over time we want to build in even more supervision, because not only do people who are beginning in this work want to have the opportunity to say, well, I said this, what do you think about that? Or, you know, I said this and I noticed that was a result of that, and how could I have done it differently? They want the camaraderie. They want the opportunity to hear from other people who are out there doing coaching as well. So those circles, those gatherings of people who are training to be coaches have been really invigorating and inspiring.
Yeah.
It's a learning opportunity for people who are out there. And so very protective of our process of training, because it's really crucial.
It should be. I mean, it's fascinating. This is all fascinating. Janet, who wants to say? Somebody just started to say something. I think it was Janet who started to say something.
No, yeah, well, no, the phone is going in a little bit in and out, so every now and then just a little bit of what. So, yeah, so I was, no, I think, you know, Robin said it well. It's our process is really very important. And the other piece is many of our coaches are former principals or former superintendents. So level that is, we purposefully do that because in education, there's no trust. But when they know that somebody was a former leader, then they say, you really understand. And we don't mentor them unless, like, say, for example, you come in and you just had let's say an explosion of a teacher who was crying and came to your office, it was a whole emotional scene, you know, then we let them let that out, right, first in the session, and we work with their emotions in the moment. And that's a place where a principal who's been there, who's the coach now, might say, let me put my mentor hat on, right? I'm going to switch a little bit here, and let me tell you something, because you're emotional and you're asking, and there's some suggestions that I could make that might help you in your process of dealing with, not with the emotions on the moment, but dealing with how to deal with the people in those situations and what the experience she has had. That happens and it's great. So that's why we call it blended, because we do some mentoring when needed, and most of the time we do coaching. But sometimes they just need that, you know. The coach has the experience, and it's a new principal, and they're, you know, so the mentor will say, okay, I'm going to put on my hat, and here's something you might think about. Yeah. So
this whole thing.
It's very specific.
Okay. It's very specific, and I have to tell you, it's everywhere. It's needed everywhere across the country, okay? And the training has been lacking. Okay, and it's time for education, schools, et cetera, to understand how important this is. That's why the book is so important. Ladies, I hate to do this, but we got to go. We're running out of time. So I'm going to say, Robin Stern and Janet Patty, you two are great guests. Thank you so much. Okay, give the dog a cookie.
Thank you, Larry.
Give the dog a cookie, by the way.
Thank you so much, Larry. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Larry.
The dog gets you guys did great. You can give each other a cookie if you want, but really the dog gets a cookie.
Thanks so much, Larry. You had great
questions. Yeah, you're welcome. This was great. Right. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Okay, have a great day.
Thank you for realizing importance. Thank you. Bye-bye.
It is important. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What terrific ladies, everybody. Boy, are they great. That's Dr. Robin Stern and Dr. Janet Patty Robbins, the co-founder and senior advisor to the director at the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence. And Janet is a professor emeritus at the Hunter College School of Education. Together they run Star Factor Coaching, which I have linked here. So the book and Star Factor Coaching are both linked on site. You should really check it out. Really, and the book's well written. It's good stuff. All right, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Radio. Everybody have a good day. Even if you're in Detroit or even if you're in Baltimore.